Heavenly Father, we worship you this evening. We are grateful. The God who has allowed us to be gathered here at this time, we honor and worship you. As we go into your word, Heavenly Father, I strip myself of every confidence that my yet have in my knowledge or ability to share your word, or even my past experience, Lord, of sharing this same word. I duck under the covering of my spiritual fathers, pastor and mommy, that the same grace upon their lives will rest upon me mightily to them to teach, to preach, to minister on Oracle God, Lord, to bring an encouraging word that enables us to continue to run the race that is set before us. I ask for grace, Lord. Lord, and mercy to be faithful steward, to minister as an oracle of God. Help me to redeem the time, not to say things that are necessary. I may bring out of the treasure of your word things both old and new, as the scribe instructed unto the kingdom. As the word goes forth, let it cause our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlightened by revelation knowledge, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Let yokes be broken, let needs be met. Let glory go to the name of Jesus, and blessing unto us, the sons of men. Lord, Holy Spirit, I set up my right hand and ask that you come and help me. Thank you, Father. Lord, just thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you for what you will do in our midst this evening. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. After you have shared over the years, I would like to share a word which is based on, I won't just call it an experience, something that occurred recently. You know, we all go through things of discouragement. You know, when you're wondering, God, what is happening to me after all these years? You know, and I, during the last 3 days, I was praying. I want to ask God some questions, you know, about the manifestation of the glory. You know, when I got born again, in 1990. Yeah, September 30. And I started coming to church in 1991 after I finished serving. And I got to hear the word about perfection. And it was like, it's going to happen tomorrow. You know, and I really trusted God after 2 days, you know, 2000, this thing will happen. But it seemed to have been delayed. And in and out, you know, things will happen. You wonder, Lord, when is this really going to happen? So recently, the same thing occurred again. You know, it comes like a wave. And I began to seek God. And God gave me this word, because I believe and I'm trusting that will encourage us. It's from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, which is from verses 3 to 4. The title of my message this evening is Strengthen Ye the Weak Hands. Let's say it together. Strengthen ye the weak hands. Let's open our Bible's book of Isaiah, chapter 35, verses 3 to 4. Let's all read together. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Let's say it once again. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Next verse. Say to them, that is very important. I say to them that of a fearful heart, be what? Be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, and even God with a recompense, and he will come and what? Save you. As we all know, recently this is what has been coming, that we have entered a new day, a new season, an upgrade, in which is a season of vengeance upon them that trouble Zion and trouble us, Satan and all his courts. So, but you see, before the scripture, Isaiah, you know, Isaiah was a prophet. He's a prophet, you all know. And God sent them to Israel at this time. And he told them, he said, strengthen ye the weak hands. Why would God tell them, the Israelites at that time, which applies to us, that you strengthen their weak hands and confirm their feebleness? He says, say to them that you're fearful. You know, when you expect something and then it doesn't happen, there's a tendency to be afraid. But, God, have I missed God? What am I going to do? You know, said, say to them that you're fearful. Be strong and of a good courage. He said, your God will come with vengeance and with a recompense, and he will save you. The Bible says that God has magnified his word above his name. Everything that God does, whatever God says, he has the ability to bring it to pass. So that is everything God has said is based on the integrity of God's word. If God says something and does not come to pass, pardon what I'm about to say, that means that he will refuse, he ceases to be God, which is not possible. Lord Jesus Christ said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So we need to take heed to the words we're hearing about the manifestation of the glory. So why would God send Isaiah to Israel? Why is God bringing this word again? I will strengthen our weak hands and confirm our feebleness. Because you say, you may be weary. You may be tired. You may be wondering, God, when will this thing happen? People will say, where is the promise of his coming? So God is saying that we should strengthen the weak hands and confirm our feebleness. Let's open our Bible's book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verse 12. You see, because the Bible says that hope defied, maketh what? The heart sick. We are talking here about the hope of his calling, the hope of manifesting the glory of God. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's look at that. Hope defied, maketh the heart sick. But when the desire what? Cometh, it is what? A tree of life. When any hope, it can be any hope of the promise of this life, you know, or in particular, we're talking about the hope of the perfection and the fullness of Christ, which is what Isaiah was talking about in present day context. When it says that the Lord your God will come and he will save you. Bible says that, you know, receiving the end of our faith, which is the salvation of our souls. So it says, strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feebleness, and say to them that are fearful, don't be afraid about what God has said. It is surely going to come to pass. So when I put it here, when I was meditating on this word, I said, well, it's mentioned to say weak hands and feebleness. I said, weak hands and feebleness. You know, figurative, that's what he's talking about here. Why would God use the word weak hands and feebleness? It's very, very simple. You see, anytime Satan wants to attack, he attacks our hands. What it says in the book of Zephaniah, it says, let not your hands be slack. And then the feebleness, what? Let me try and explain what this means and how it operates in our circumstances. Is when we talk about the weak hands, it speaks of dropping our armor, especially the armor of faith and the sword of the spirit. So Satan attacks those areas of our lives. He wants you to drop your faith. Because the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. This hope we are trusting God for, we have to keep on acting in faith, believing that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. So two things, when your hands are weak as a Christian, putting on the whole armor of God, what happens is both hands are used to carry, one hand to carry your shield, another hand to carry, to hold on to the sword of the spirit. So when those hands are weak, the tendency is to drop the shield of faith. Then your faith starts getting weak, and then the sword of the spirit. But God does not want us to drop that shield of faith in which you put our trust that God will bring to pass that which he has spoken. And then the feeble knees. The feeble knees speaks about inability to stand in the day of battle. The Bible says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. So when the people start getting weary, it's a thing of the mind. You find out that they start wondering, oh, God. And the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. And the Bible says that we should fight the good fight of faith. So once the hands are weak and you drop the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, praying the Holy Spirit, you find out that the next thing is that the knee starts to buckle. You're no longer running the race. You are running, but you're not running at the pace you ought to. And we're told that we should hasten the coming of the Lord in our lives. So these are the two things that Satan attacks, our hands and also our knees. So the Bible says that we should strengthen this weak hand and confirm our feebleness. So we confirm our feebleness because God has called us that we should run the race that is set before us. Let's open our Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. You know, Paul was talking, you know, to the Corinthians at that time. And he said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one what? Receive the prize. We are not just running. Everybody is running. Even those that are born again, that have not heard this, they are all running. But see, we are not talking about the pace at which you are running. Say, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one what? Receive the prize. So, do what? Run. Say, run, that you may obtain. Say, run, that you may obtain. So God is telling us that we should keep on running, that may obtain. We are not just running. We are running to obtain the prize of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And there is a set time. There is a kairos moment. You see, we are not just running. People are running a race like, okay, it doesn't matter. If you are running like when people, football, you have what's called a friendly match. You may not really want to score. That's not the finals. But we have not entered the finals. We are running, and God is saying that we should run to obtain. We are not just running lackadaisically. We are not just running taking things easy, but God wants us to run to obtain the prize of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I put down the scripture here, and we encourage you, 2 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 5 to 7, which describes the time we are in. When you look around the world, the things that are happening in the world, you know, an earthquake that occurred recently in Hawaii, and then the last one that occurred in Guatemala. It did not even give them any warning. It didn't just erupt like that. Bible says that fearful sights, things that happen that are making men to begin to be afraid, but the hearts of men are failing them. So what does it say? It says that, and in those times, there was no peace to him that went out, nor him that came. So even if you travel abroad, or you go anywhere, there is trouble everywhere. Nor him that came in, but great vexations were upon the empires of the countries. Next verse. And nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city. For what? God did what? Vexed them with all adversity. Now we know that it is not God that is behind what is going on. It's Satan. Are you following me? Next verse. But in our system, says, be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak. Why? For your work, say, for your work shall be rewarded. God is telling us that he is going to reward our work and our labor of love. So don't look at the things that are happening in the nations of the world, even our nation, Nigeria, the different that. They, of course, I'm going to say, don't strengthen your weak hands. Don't let your hands be weak. Praise the Lord. So I put down a few examples here, about five, of people that they were in this same situation and they lost hope. You see, I believe that Lord Jesus Christ must have gone through this situation, but Bible says he was tempted in every way like as we are, yet without sin. He must have at one time been believing God that this thing would happen, and it never really happened. But you see, the difference is that he never sinned. He didn't doubt God. And he put himself in a place that, Lord, if it doesn't happen, I'm still going to trust you. So he kept on working in the carpenter's shop until his mother told him and said, oh yeah, turn the water to wine. You don't know that story. He had so much gotten used to the situation, not agree with it. I mean, was trusting God for it to happen. But like, okay, God, I'm going to wait until you tell me. So let's look at the first person I put here is Abraham at the age of 100 years old. That's why Bible's book of Genesis chapter 17, we use from verses 17 to 18. Now, God had called Abraham from all the Chaldees at the age of 75 and gave him a promise. Blah, 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 but you know that promise, you know, you see your inherited heart and everything. And he kept on going, he kept on obeying God, doing his very best. But he came to this place and God spoke to him and he said, and then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? Next verse. And Abraham said, let's look, and Abraham said unto God, oh, that what? Ishmael might live before thee. That is, at that time he had lost hope. That God, anyway, I'm okay. Let me just manage Ishmael. There's no point disturbing you again. At least I'll manage it. Okay. So when God now came back to me, I told him, I said, look, Sarah is going to give birth. At current time of life, like pastors told us, you know, at the beginning of the year, Abraham could not believe. He started laughing. Oh no, Mama, finish here, yeah. This thing is not possible. But you see, at the end of the day, he always says, he now told God, he said, oh God, okay, I don't mind the person, but I'm okay as I am now. I'm prosperous, I'm okay, I have Ishmael. But you see, God is not going to settle for Ishmael in our lives. What he has said he will do, he will do. In fact, God did it so much that after, you know, Abraham gave birth to Isaac, and Sarah died and went on to heaven, the anointing on him was so much that he married another woman, Keturah, and still kept on having children. So you can imagine that situation. Sarah must have been laughing. Ah, look at this man. You mean what is not enough for you in heaven? So you can imagine the kind of unction that God gave him. The anointing. The Bible says that the life of God was made manifest in his flesh. That it was so much that even after Sarah passed on, she could still marry and still have children. But at this time, it looked all impossible. He was ready to settle for Ishmael. But God, no problem. I'm okay with Ishmael. Let's just, I'm okay, I have cattle, I have this, I have that. Fine, at least I'm 100 years old now. So, you see, that is what God wants us to see. That we must not give up hope. And the Bible says that, concerning Abraham, he said, against hope, believed in hope. There was a time, you see, here, he had lost hope. But when God had to say, walk before me and be thou perfect. And he picked up his confessions again. You know, started calling his wife Sarah, Abraham, and all that. And then all of a sudden, you know, Bible said against hope, he believed in hope. That he staggered, you know, must staggered at the promise of God. And he believed that God was able to do what he had promised to do. You see, we need to come to that place and like that. Whatever God has said, we must know that he is not a man to lie. If he has said something, he will surely do it because he has the ability to bring it to pass. The second example I have again of a hopeless situation is Martha and Mary. You know the story. they sent a message to Lord Jesus Christ. Said, your friend Lazarus, whom thou lovest, is sick. You see, they could not believe. Their trust, their faith in Christ was that, okay, if he's still sick, he can help him. So they quickly sent to us, said, your friend Lazarus, whom thou lovest, is sick. If we check the love in that, it says, whom thou filio, he used filio. But, and the Bible says in a few verses in the book of John, it says that, and Jesus loved Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. If you check it, that word there is agape, it's different, it's not the same thing. You see, they were used to the filio of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, but they did not know that at times the way agape will move is not the way you expect him to move. So they sent to the Lord Jesus Christ, your friend, Lazarus, whom you love. Believe that by the time you know you love him, he's very sick. So come. Thinking that is what will motivate Jesus Christ to come on time. You know, the story, Jesus Christ waited for 4 days. Of course, he was praying. Because by the time he got there, he said, I thank you, my Father, because I know you hear me always. So that tells that for those 4 days, he was waiting on Lord and praying. So, and he went to the place. But when he got there, Martha and Mary said something. They were kind of blaming the master, which at times we ourselves fall into, but we must not fall into. We need to ask God to help us. And they said the same thing of John chapter 11, verse 21. Martha was the first person that came there and was going to blame God. Now, I don't know why you've gone through situations in your life that you're expecting something to come and it's not happened. I said, oh God, but if only this manifestation has come, this thing will never happen. So then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. That is, their faith could not pass Lazarus dying. They believe that, okay, if he comes on time and he lays hands on him, fine. So the master wanted to show them another dimension of power that they never seen before. The same thing with Mary. Mary too went outside, just as he was more humble. And you see, like one man of God said, dead now, gone up to Judge Warnock. He said that God will not answer the questions you ask him, but will only answer the questions that he wants you or expects you to ask. Like that guy, he says, that's what you're going to say. One of his books. He said, we ask God many questions at times, but he will answer your heart. Like he said, tell this person to divide the inheritance between. Then he said, who made you? And just said, who beware of covetousness. So you see, when Jesus Christ wanted to answer them, he gave them a different answer from what they were expected. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. So what did Mary say? Let's look at what Mary said. The same thing. Just she was more humble. She fell on her face. I said, and when Mary was come, where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him the same thing, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. That is God, Jesus Christ. You caused it. You came late. If only I had been here about 3 days ago, then my your friend Lazarus, whom thou lovest, would not have died. But we know the story. Like God turned the captive of Abraham that we read earlier on. God also called Lazarus to come forth an hopeless situation. God turned it around. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? Bible says, though he tarry, wait for it. Is that why it is important that pastor has told us that we trust God that we should not die prematurely. We will not die prematurely. That's why we are in a season in which when this thing begins to manifest, but God will reverse the years that locusts and the campfires. The third example I have is about the Apostle Paul. When God told him that he was going to appear before him in Rome, at times God will give you a word and you believe God. At times God spoke to me. You are so excited. Ah, God spoke to me. Let's open up the Bible to the book of Acts chapter 23 verse 11. God did not just speak to him. The Lord just appeared to him to encourage him. And he told him, I said, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast what? As thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. That word there must in Greek is binding. He said, you must. So God was pleased with Paul. So give me another assignment. He said, just as you have borne witness of me here, you are going to appear and bear witness for me in Rome. And we know the story. He kept on doing what God called him to do. But all of a sudden, something happened. Look at story, Acts chapter 27, verse 19, as they were going. And you begin to wonder, didn't God speak to me? I heard God now. God told me, you know, things that you are so sure about. And when he speaks to you, you are excited. You know, but you see, God always declares the end from the beginning. But there is a wilderness, there is a pathway that you have to go to, which begins to do two things. It begins to, first of all, work on your character, using different circumstances and people to help you to perfect that character. So by the time you get to that final destination you're going to, you'll be ready to fulfill what has called you to do. What does it say? Acts 27 says, and the third day, we cast with our own hands the tackling of a ship. They said, lost confidence. Next verse. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope, let's say all hope, that we should be saved was then taken away. It was Luke that was writing. So must have been speaking based on the experience of everybody that was in the ship at that time. At every hope that he should be saved. Now they were going on a physical journey, but now we're talking about the salvation of us. So say all hope that we should be saved was taken away. They took their own hands to begin to cast off their casting. But look, this thing is, we are just going to end up, we're not going to get to Rome. And then look, if Luke wasn't where he should be, he would have been doubting Paul. But are you sure that the master appeared to you? Which we do often at times. If you're not careful, the enemy will say, that's why I told him. Say, are you really sure? Are you following me? Or look at David himself. Let me just mention, that's another example. Many examples in the scripture that God wants us to receive comfort and strength from. David, after God anointed David in presence of his brethren, he killed the lion, he killed the bear, and he killed Goliath. But before he was even made king or anointed king over Judah, what happened? Saul started chasing him, was willing to kill him. And he got to a point in David's life, he forgot totally about the anointing, all the things that God had done to him. He said, I know that one day Saul, this man is just going to kill me. That was around when that was when Ziklag. And to compound his problems, when he went to go and fight with Philistines, and then they told him to return at Ziklag, they had raided Ziklag, and they said, okay, the people that were with him started complaining. But you see now, they were going to stone him. You and all these your wars, you so caught anointing good. You said God has given you. You see where you have ended up now. If you had stayed there now, not like happened to our children. But you know what David did, which you always do, if you find ourselves in that situation. If I would say, they call the Abiathar to give him the effort. I said, encourage himself in the Lord. It was while he was encouraging himself in the Lord that God gave him a way of escape and said, Oga, pursue. You surely overtake and recover all. And that was not the end of the story. You see, when they got to the book of Besor, what happened? Some of them were weary and tired. They could not go. Thank God that David did not succumb and said, it is true. At least we have tried down, let's relax. But this, they left 200 and remaining 400 kept on going. And the thing I want to see there is that in the midst of all the trouble he was in, he never stopped walking in love. Because he saw an Egyptian, an Amalekite, the servant of Amalekite. He saw the guy about to die. And they fed that guy twice. They gave him water, they gave him bread, they gave him everything until his soul revived. And they brought him to David. What am I saying? You see, when you are in the midst of expecting something to come, it could be anything, you must never stop walking in love. Showing kindness, showing mercy to people that probably they don't deserve it. You must never. Like God, Bible says, he gives his rain upon the good and upon the evil. You never know whether it is that Egyptian that you give the cake of figs and water to that will eventually show you the way of escape. What of it? They had seen the man about to die, was about to die. And they said, I'm a servant of so and so and so and so. Even before he really, even before he told them who he was or what they had done, they had given him food. They didn't give him food or the whatever they gave him and water because he said, I was with them, those that raided Ziklag. No, if you go and read the story, they just fed the guy. They just didn't want him to die. They didn't have any, they were not motivated because the guy had, they didn't even know they had the answer to what they were looking for. And they took him to David. And David fed and said, okay, if you take us there, I will take you there, but swear that you not hand me over to my master. And I said, okay. And you know the story. They went there and they recovered all. Praise the Lord. So the lesson to Nanda is that we must never stop walking in love, in season and out season. Praise the Lord. Because God had hid the answer to the pursue and overtake that he told David in that little guy. If they had said, leave him, Jerry, we don't have time for it, let's keep running, so they run away, they would have even missed the road. Praise the Lord. So the third, I mentioned Paul. The other example I have here again is about the two disciples on the way to Emmaus after the resurrection. The same thing is written all over the scriptures. they had lost hope. The master, the prince that we trust, that will deliver Israel, is now dead. So they were going on the way to Emmaus, and Lord Jesus Christ joined them. And he asked them, like he's asking us, what manner of communications are you people talking about? What are you talking about? Luke chapter 24, verse 17. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? God does not want our countenance to be sad when the promise is delayed. I'm talking in particular about the promise of his coming, the manifestation of his coming. But it also applies to any other promise. You can apply to any other promise. So it says that, why are you looking so sad? But you know that at that time, they didn't know. They did not know that I was the master. Next verse. And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And art thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? Next verse. And he said unto them, what things? No, he kept, what things? And he said, and they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and in word before God and all the people. Next verse. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Next verse. Let's do it together. But we trusted that it had been he which would have what? Redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. We're in the third day. Paul cast off his tacklings in the third day. You know, they had expected that they did not believe, they didn't understand the scriptures. They read it all the time, you know, about Jonah being in the belly of the whale, but they did not understand. Praise the Lord. And you know what happened? They opened their eyes. The last example I want to give is the example of Saul. And this is an example I want to give because it is a trap we must not fall in. It's a very dangerous trap. While we're in a place of waiting and trusting God for the manifestation of the Spirit without measure, we must not fall in Saul's trap. What did Saul do? I'll just go to the point. I put it here, I say, Saul could not wait for the prophetic word to come to pass. 1 Samuel chapter 13, we read from verse 8. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 8. What was this? You know, Paul. Is it 1 Samuel? Yes, 1 Samuel 13, verse 8. Where it says that, you know, he did not. 8, yes, yes. So let's look at that. And he tarried 7 days. According to what? The set time. Say the set time. The set time that Saul had appointed. That Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal. And the people were scattered from him. The prophetic God had gone forth. And it was the seventh day to Saul. Said, wait for me, I'm coming. But the time the seventh day came, you know, in a day, in a literal, you have from morning till night. You know, 24 hours. So it came to a time Saul began to look at circumstances. People are leaving, out there. They are going to so-and-so place now, where so-and-so is happening in the seventh day. It says, and when Saul came not to Gilgal, it was divine delay. And the people were scattered from him. Say, scattered from him. Scattered from him. Verse 9. As a result of people scattering, you know what he did? And Saul said, bring me hither what? A burnt offering to me and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. What a terrible mistake. You must not follow the multitude to do evil. God forbid that you see anybody that is longing to leave church. God forbid. But peradventure, God is saying this to us. The fact that the prophetic word is yet to come to pass does not mean it will not come to pass. We must not do what Saul did here. Because in the same seventh day, someone has spoken to him and said, wait till the seventh day. You know what happened? Because what happened? The Philistines, you know, that's what they had gathered. So different things were happening, you know, like rumors of war, all these things. So they got, look, it's like saying, I will leave Nigeria. All that is happening now, so kidnapping, God forbid, God is helping us in Nigeria. And I say, let me pack my stuff and leave. No, we will not in Jesus' name. So what happened? Immediately did that. Next verse. still in the seventh day. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering on the seventh day, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. He that shall come will come. I will not tarry. At this time, Saul had lost hope. But you see, he should have just waited. But if God said it, like Master Jesus Christ, I wait. But he started doing what God did not tell him. That is the reason for those that you see in this day that preach motivational messages. Since I've been born again, I've been in this church, but to glory of God, since I've been born again, I've listened to many preachers, people preach different messages. All of a sudden, you find that when people begin to scatter in their congregation, they either begin to water the message down. Say, it's not really saying that. And I'm beginning to wonder, but you said this at one time. Why are they so under pressure? Because you see, this message we preach, it will bring offense. Paul said that if I yet preach circumcision, then is the offense of the cross ceased. We start telling people to deny themselves, to fast and pray, to confess, to groan, the crowd will definitely think about. I thank God for this house. I can say I know the message has not changed. It's becoming clearer and clearer and clearer. Each time I come to church, we are going to see why we need to come to church. You see, at times I'm coming, things happen, your circumstances, and I get to church, I receive strength, I receive encouragement, in whichever way it comes. Look at the message I passed up on Sunday. It's a very simple message, but so powerful on strife. Something that, you have been, I won't say it's a prophetic landmark. It's a landmark, but Pastor didn't call it a landmark message. But like just started to say, sure. Same thing with the Bible study. Or like in the midst of being tired and weary. I can remember it just came to me now. Mom now comes a song that Sister Etunu sent to us. When I heard the song, I said, yes, that is the song. That is the song. All of a sudden, those things all lifted again. Encouragement came. Are you following me? So we must not do what Saul did and change what we believe in. I follow him, or begin to seek motivational messages. It's not wrong to preach motivational messages. But see, it is not our purpose. It is not the primary thing. We don't change and begin to do it. Most churches now, what they do is they will bring a comedian, half of the message, they will crack jokes, they will talk about, need-oriented, let's just summarize it, entertainment-based gospel. Why? Because this crowd will scatter in the seventh day. Are you following me? So, like the other example I have here is also in the upper room. The Bible says that the master appeared to 500 people. 500. We are not talking about hearing somebody preach to you. They saw the resurrected Lord face to face. And he spoke to them things concerning him for 40 days. They had just 10 days because Pentecost is just 10 days from Passover. But alas, at the end of the day, it was only 120 people that were in the upper room. By the grace of God, we all stay in the upper room of perfecting the love of God in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So like I said, I don't need to turn there. Paul mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6, said he appeared to 500 people. But in Acts 1, verse 15, only 120 were there. Why? As ancient I said, then Galatians 5:11, Paul said, we can't change what we believe. We cannot. I can't change. I've come to it by the grace of God. I can be weak and weary. It all comes to us. The Bible says, strengthen you become. Confirm the feebleness. Don't be afraid. Stand strong. Are you following me? So I'm not going to. We tell ourselves, I'm not going to stop praying. I'm not going to stop fasting. I'm not going to stop going. If you're not on a 21-day fast, we must be ready to go ahead. We must be ready to go ahead. We must be ready to go ahead. You must not say, okay, we've done it, nothing happened. Who told you something didn't happen? And at the time the master resurrected, they did not know. They didn't know. He was talking, they didn't know. They were all sad. Like Papa pointed out years ago, by the time that Jesus Christ was born, they did not know. The priests in the old temple were still doing their temple worship and all that. They brought him to the temple, they did not know.
Because it is, wasn't Anna and Simeon that they offered turtle doves to? They gave it to the priest. Yet the priest saw the baby and they did not know. Bible says, it does not yet appear when we shall appear. When it shall appear, we shall be like him, we shall see him as released. Many people are looking at you and I today and they don't know that Christ is being formed in you. Expect it suddenly. He's the God of solid. Isaiah 28. Suddenly something will happen. Like Papa said years ago, just came to my mind. He said, when they are going to act a play on a stage, it is not when they remove the curtains that they start running up and down. No! All the actors and actresses will have been ready. So you won't see anything. You just see the curtain. All of a sudden, they just roll back the curtain. Then the act begins. Once it begins, they're not going to stop until they finish the play. Same thing is going to happen. Back, we are backstage now. Nobody can see what is going on. We are getting ready. You know, practicing different things, different roles. God says, okay, you act, you are going to do this. You're going positioning different people in different places. Yet all the world can see is just a curtain. So when are they going to begin this thing, for God's sake? We've been here now. Why are they starting late? Praise the Lord. So what do we do? I put it here in this situation. It's very simple. We are to continue to say to them of a fearful heart, say to ourselves, we have to continue. You see, that we stay the same faith principle of whatsoever shall say to this mountain, without removing about cast, shall not down, shall have whatever I say. It's that same faith principle we have to keep on saying. So it says in Isaiah 35, it says, say unto the fearful heart, be strong and have a good courage. For what? Your God will come with vengeance on the other side. And then with a recompense. And he will come and save you. The message cannot change. We have to keep on saying it and saying it. The Bible says that we should continue his word. When we continue his word, then are we disciples indeed. Paul said in Acts chapter 20 verse 32. He said, I commend you to the word of God. That's able to, word of his grace, that's able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst them that are sanctified. That word of his grace is the word of perfection. It's not just the word of prosperity or healing. That's just a room in the house that Pastor Kuni was sharing the other day. Praise the Lord. So, we have to keep on saying it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13. Says that we having the same spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13. Says we having the same spirit of faith. We believe and therefore we speak. Praise the Lord. God is in control. This is the guy I'm talking about. Satan is a liar. It is well. So what are we saying? It's very important for us, you know, to know these things and not to lose hope. So I said, why the delay? I have two reasons here why we have a delay in these things. We need to know why there is a delay. And so we can cooperate with God. I put point number one here. I said that if the full inheritance is given prematurely, it will be misused. How about God told me when I was praying, doing this really fast, I put all my prayer points down, all disappointments in my life, what I've done, all I've forsaken to follow the Lord. And, you know, I go through our own life. God, but look at this and that and that. I not even started petitioning for 2 minutes when God spoke this scripture to me. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 21. An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. So God spoke this scripture to me to let me know, look, you are overestimating, you are rating yourself above. Look, I know what I'm doing. The reason why I've not allowed you to have that inheritance now is that you will abuse it. You will not use it properly. Are you following me? You know, there's an adage in Yoruba. It says that the first amount of money you give a little child is going to use to buy akara. If you give a little child some money, you see, he does not know what to do. He doesn't know how to manage it, to invest it. He's just going to go to somewhere and just spend the money buying sweets, biscuits, and all that. Praise the Lord. So he says that an inheritance may be gotten hastily at what? The beginning. Say the beginning. The beginning. But the end thereof shall not be blessed. The beginning there is very important. The beginning there speaks of Passover, between Passover and Pentecost. Exodus chapter 12, verse 2. That is the beginning of months when they came out of Egypt, when we get born again. God did not give us that full inheritance. He gave us the earnest, expecting us to be faithful to that earnest, to develop character, that he may give us the fullness in the end. What does he say? This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. That's when they came out of Egypt, when they got born again, so to speak. It shall be the first month of the year to you. What is the end? The end is the Feast of Tabernacles we are in now. Exodus 23 verse 16. Thank you, Lord Holy Spirit. Exodus 23 verse 16. And the Feast of Harvest, the first fruit of thy labors, which thou hast sown in the field, and the Feast of Ingathering, which is in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors out of the field. You see, you cannot harvest a crop until they are ripe. You see, the end time, we have to really enter the time of the harvest before God can give us this anointing we are talking about. And the main purpose for that anointing is to disciple the nations, like Pastor has taught us. All the other things are there. So you can imagine if God has given us this anointing years before. Look at how the church leaders have abused the little that God has given them. It is for this discipling of the nations. That's what the master said. He said, the Spirit of Lord God is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach what? The gospel to the meek. Is that anointing is not for you and I. It is for the work to be done. When the anointing comes, it does not mean you have to stop fasting. You can't stop praying. It's an anointing for ministry. You're going to be blessed by it. That's what I'm saying. Understand? But I said, it's upon me to do something. It's not just to take it and acquire wealth and misbehave like many do today in the church. Praise the Lord. So that is the beginning. So I said between Pentecost and Tabernacles. So what does God do between Pentecost and Tabernacles? He puts you and I in a cocoon. The silent years of ministry. I won't have time to turn there, but you're going to read this book by, help me, Holy Spirit, The Earnest of the Lord, Bill Britton. Where there are two coats, you know, and the Lord tried to put an harness on them, you know, and then one of them jumped out of the fence because he saw green grass and everything, and he went out to go and eat. Then there came a famine, and then the other one, the harness just stayed there. So what are we saying? It's the period in which God puts a cocoon and puts us in that cocoon. He takes that caterpillar that is eating everything, jumping around, and puts us in a cocoon. Why? So he can develop character. So I can emerge as a butterfly. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 to 2. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 to 2. Say the heir. Now I say that the heir, as long as what? A lead, a child, different nothing from a servant. Though he be Lord of all. Next verse. But, say but. Is under what? Tutors and governors unto what? The time appointed of the Father. That means that the time appointed of the Father. That time appointed is not, it has to do with the time, but also has to do with the heir himself. How he allows himself to be trained by under tutors and governors. The fact that you are under tutors and governors does not mean that you will get that inheritance if you do not prove that you are responsible. So there is a time in terms of frame, you know, season. But also hinges on the person, the heir, that is under tutors and governors. So we're in that appointed time. That's why we have to hasten the development of spirit in our lives. Praise the Lord. So I put down this example of the prodigal son. We all know the story. There were two sons in that house. The younger son and the older one. I said the younger son represents baby to little child. This has nothing to do when you got born again. It has to do with your development spiritually. A pastor has been teaching the book of 1 John. And we know the story. The younger son is the one that decided to go and meet his father to ask for his inheritance. And his father gave him. And he went away. We know the story. He spent it on riotous living. Thank God for his mercy that he has not given us this thing. But the elder son stayed under the covering of the same father. He got so used to working with the father that it was not even until that boy came back. As he was walking in the field. Are you following me? So we need to, that's the story of the prodigal son. Let's just put the scripture, Luke chapter 15, verse 12. And let's see what the boy did. We are talking here about why the delay. That if God should give us this thing prematurely, we will abuse it. Don't say, I won't abuse it. Mm-mm. You don't want to try. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Next verse. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into what? A far country, and there wasted his substance, his inheritance. With what? Righteous living. If you remember, it just comes with Deuteronomy chapter 17. It's then when you make a king, you must not see, you must not multiply this himself, you must not do this himself, you must not do this. God put this thing there for us to see. Are you going to be the younger son or the elder one? Younger in the sense that you are spiritually young, but are trying to reach out for what God has not given you. Or the elder one that stays under covering until the time appointed of the father. Because the father said to the other one, he said, why are you disturbing yourself? All that I have is yours. When that boy came back, what does the father have? The spirit without measure. He said, because God has given unto him the spirit without measure. Next. And what's that in that? Next verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Next verse. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. A lot of so-called pastors today are feeding swine. The Bible says in 1 Peter, it says that, you know, we make them a child of the devil, and then he says that his swallow, his sow has returned to his vomit. That will not be a portion in Jesus' name. So that is the first thing we need to do. That's why the delay is. Because most of us are not yet, we have not grown to where God wants us to be. That's why we have to be under covering. And stay under covering like that elderly son. Praise the Lord. The second reason I put here is what our mommy brought about a month ago. I said that we are in a kairos moment of the fulfillment of the vision in which God will hasten to perform his word. I told Jeremiah, I said, what do you see? Jeremiah said, I see the word of an Ammon, says, you have seen well, because I will hasten to perform it. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 22. That was the scripture that mommy shared a month ago, which was very encouraging. Said, son of man, what is that proverb that you have heard that you have in the land of Israel? Talking about Job. Saying the days are prolonged and the vision faded. Next verse. Tell them therefore, thus said Lord God, I will make this proverb to what? Cease. And they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, the days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. Next verse. For there shall be no more any vain vision, nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. Next verse. For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I speak shall do what? Come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, I will perform it and see the Lord. So God is telling us that, look, this vision of the perfection of the fullness of Christ is not going to be delayed. It's going to happen in our very, before our very eyes, in this season we are in. We're in that season, we're in that kairos moment. So God is encouraging us. Don't be discouraged. Habakkuk says, I put it down, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 in ESV, says that, for the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. It is a place of waiting that God strengthens the heart. No measure, I said, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but we need to begin to wait on God. Psalm 77, verse 13 to 14 says, Psalm 27 says that, he said, except I had fainted, except I believed. Are we there? He says that, I had fainted unless I believed to see what? The goodness of the Lord in the land of living. Next verse. He says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And it shall what? Strengthen the heart. Wait. I see your. It's a command. God said, wait. Don't do what Saul did. Don't give up your hope. Bible says that he that shall come will come and will not tarry. And the next thing he says after that, he says, the just shall live by faith. That is why you need faith. Like mom was sharing, just remember, before she traveled. She just came and was talking about faith. I think, yes, about faith. You cannot let go of faith. It's that same faith that you use for everything. You are going to keep using to the saving of your soul. If you read in Hebrews chapter 11, 37, 28, after he says that, you know, cast out the way of confidence that has a great compass of God. For you have no patience that after you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. It says that he that shall come and will not tarry. Next verse, 37, 38, please. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, verse 37, says, for yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Next verse. What is next that Paul says? And now the just shall live by faith. That is that same faith. You must apply it to what he just mentioned, that is going to come. So God, why the top point I put here is similar to the first one, is that God wants many people to come into salvation. That's why he's delaying. He's deliberately waiting. Okay, I want more people to come. I bring many sons to glory. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Says that the long suffering of God is salvation. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 and 15. Can put, okay, says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, and some can't slack, but he longs suffering to us world, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 15. Yes. As we begin to round up. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is what? Salvation. Praise the Lord. Let's stop at that scripture. So I put it here in my meditation that the vision was fulfilled. It's going to be fulfilled in the time of famine. How do I know when I was meditating? Luke chapter 15, verse 14. It was when the younger boy spent everything and a famine arose, a mighty famine, that he went back. Follow me. Luke chapter 15, verse 14. Paul said, a mighty famine, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, in that land, and he began to be in want. So a famine began, a mighty famine, say mighty famine. Now the famine we are talking about is not the famine of food. It's the famine of the word of God. That is how you can know where we are now today. Amos chapter 8, verse 11. It's not a famine of hunger, physical food. But it's a famine of the word. If you hear what people preach, you know there is a famine. Food that cannot nourish you spiritually. Amos chapter 8, verse 11 says, behold, let's look at it. Behold, he does come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And people hearing the word of the Lord preaching today. Churches everywhere, but they are not hearing the word of the Lord. At that time of Eli. I said the division of God was very scarce. Next verse. And they shall what? Wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. I keep thanking God for the fathers of the house. It is not flattery. I come in. There is no time that you come to this house and you not be fed spiritually. I wonder, and I'm not wondering again. It's just, I've just, you know, there's a saying, say, Ogana Master. You know, even pastor will just come and he will just put his note and he will just talk, and then, you're like, God, where did he get this informed? Or mommy will just bring a word. Look at the time we went on that 21 days fast. And she did not know that it had to do with the Feast of Purim and everything was falling in place. Bah, 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 bah. If she had known, you would say, okay, maybe because she knew. But she did not know. But just picked it by the Spirit. That's how you know. So there is a famine in the land. And it was during the 7 years of famine that Joseph's dream was fulfilled. That is how you know where we are now. It wasn't at the beginning, no. The famine, you know, God told him, his dream was that your brother and your king will come and bow. That's what he saw in the dream. I follow him. So when the famine began, Genesis chapter 41, verse 54. Pharaoh told him, he said, look, the famine has begun. So begin to open the storehouses. Genesis chapter 41, verse 54. Genesis chapter verse 54. It says, and the 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said. And the dirt in all was in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt that was bread. Now, notice again, we're not talking about physical famine, we're talking about the famine of the world. Next verse. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what is said to you, do. The same thing that Mary told the Lord Jesus Christ when the wine finished. The wine has finished. He said, whatever I tell you to do, do. And he just walked away. Why? The wine has finished. There is a famine of the world. I was thinking about it, and this is a thought that came to me, that no wonder this message that has been sent out recently on WhatsApp is a treasure house that has been opened by Joseph. I sent some of my friends, they said, ah, please. Somebody said, why did you send that thing to me? They keep sending it to me. The storehouses have been opened. And each one that has been faithful. See, it wasn't Joseph that was actually serving people, but the one that was in custody. So everyone is in front of a particular. You know, in those days, you know, you have what you call silos where they store grain. You have your own silo. You have, so when they send it out to you, you send it out. And surely Joseph's brothers are going to come back. Say they will worship at your foot. Revelations. Verse 56. Thank you, Lord. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened. That is what is happening right now in our midst. Opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore. It's going to get worse in the world, though. Waxed sore in the land of Egypt. That's the world. Next verse. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that famine was so sore in all the lands. Genesis chapter 42, verse 1. Now, the famine had begun. But Joseph's brethren had betrayed him. They were still managing, thinking that the thing would stop. The anointing will come back. They wished not, like Samson. The anointing has gone. They didn't know. They did not know. Verse 1. And now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his son, why do you look one upon another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down to that and buy for us from there that we may live and not die. Next verse. And Joseph's ten brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. Let's leave it as that. What am I saying? What I'm trying to explain is that, you see, it was in the time of famine that Joseph's dream came to pass. In the 7 years. And from that same time period, 7 days that Saul had to wait. I follow me. So how are we going to experience this or receive strength in our ankle bones? I have 3 points here as we close. Point number one, say, write the vision. Why do we have to write the vision? So that we will not cast off restraint. You have to be seeing something. The vision. You must baptize for the joy that was set before him. That was why he was able to endure the cross. If you don't have something you are looking at, you cast off restraint. We will not cast off restraint in Jesus. In Proverbs 29 verse 18. Where there is no vision. Say, where there is no vision, the people perish. Another version says, cast off restraint. But he that keepeth the law, happy is his love to be alive in Christ Jesus. And it says that people cast off restraint. You see, you no longer purify yourself because you don't see anything again. But we'll keep on seeing. The Bible says that Moses endured and seeing him that was invisible. You need to begin to see something, that vision of the hope of the glory. Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 to 3 says, write the vision, make it plain, so that he that readeth may run. That means if you don't read it, you cannot run. For you to run, is anytime if your knees are feeble, you're not reading that vision again. You can't see something. See, I've said, strengthen ye the weak hands, confirm the feebleness. So it's a right division. And Lord has said, right division and make it plain upon tablet that he may run that reject it. Next verse. And the Lord said, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Then, how do we write the vision? We pray Pauline prayers. That's how you get Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. It says, God should give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And it's a continuous thing. Revelation is progressive. If you don't keep praying, the thing will go. And there are many times in my life that the thing will just like a demon switch has been turned. The thing just goes down. And I will see myself. I mean, I was jumping about on stage, shouting and screaming. And the thing, my hands just go down. When I go back and begin to pray and I come to church, then thing comes back. It's, but where did that all those thoughts come from? The devil come and remind me of my age. I don't know, you are 52 already. Hey, but doesn't it happen to you? And then they will say, and you answer the devil, no, it's the devil. Honey, that's Satan. God on bash you. So, that's the thing we need to know. We need to write the vision. We do that by praying from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. Those Pauline prayers. You have to keep on doing every day, every day, every day, every day. So the thing is fresh. So as you read every day, the thing is before you, so it can run. Then the second thing I put is that in the process of that vision, which is let me make it clear, but the Christ in you is the hope of glory. That's what we're talking about. So the second thing I put here is we now also begin to practice and perfect the love of God amongst ourselves. This is very important. After you have the vision of manifesting the glory, the roadmap that will take you there is the practice and the perfecting of the love of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Paul said, provoking one another to love. What does he say? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Hebrews 10, 24. And he said, and let us consider what? One another. To do what? To provoke. Say to provoke. Unto love and to good works. That is, everything I do should provoke you to also walk in love amongst ourselves. When we have the vision, that is where God wants me to go. He wants me to manifest his glory in this end time. When you have that, it's clear. The walkway, the pathway is to provoke, which is simply practicing love. Perhaps he that hated his brother is a murderer. Says that he that hated his brother is in darkness and he cannot see where he's going to. So if you have hatred, offense, and bitterness, the first thing that you will notice is that the vision will go. You can't see anything again. But it's so simple. Don't be discouraged. We've all gone through many times. But say, offenses shall surely come. But once the light goes down, just ask God for forgiveness. Cleanse yourself. Pray again for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So when the thing comes back again, then the pathway is to walk in love. So when somebody offends you, you walk in love. Why? Because so that you don't allow them to switch off the light. That is the key. Once you have the vision, circumstances will come against you to try and put off that light. But Paul says, provoking one another to love. Simply washing your feet. Because if a brother offends you 7 times 7 in a day, forgive. An enlightened self-interest. Because if you don't do that, what will happen? The light will go off. Praise the Lord. So the last thing as we do that is also in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. The pastor was talking about yesterday. Hebrews 10, 25. Say, now, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but what? Exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day is not approaching, the day is here. So God is telling us to do these three things. One, write the vision. Make it plain. So as you read it, you run. Now when you are reading the vision and you are running with it, the next issue, for you to really get experience the manifestation of that vision, which is the perfection of Jesus Christ, manifesting glory of God, you now need to begin to perfect and practice the love of God. That is where the problem is. That's where people will step on your toes. I've heard Paul say something. When somebody wrongs, why can't you allow yourself to be defrauded? Same thing I just said, somebody takes your coat, let him have. Why? Because you want that vision to come to pass. And then the final thing, that we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together, much more as we did. The day is not approaching, it's already here. Why did God say that? Because the Bible says, one will put the talents of life, two will put the talents of life. You know, can you imagine you come to church, you are weary, you are tired, your hands are down, your knees are wobbling, you're coming to, you know, different things are happening, your circumstances, and then you get to church and encouraging word comes, most times from the pulpit, or somebody that just comes to you and says, ah, and I was just praying and God said, or somebody just says something to lift you up. That's what we should be doing. When people say there's a casting down, we will say there's what? A lifting up. Lifting one up, provoking one out to love. And then the last scripture and final scripture to confirm this in Psalm 84, verse 7, Amplified. Psalm 84 says, they go from strength to strength, everyone that appears before God in Zion. We're talking about Zion here. Zion is where this message is preached. That is where the sisters say, they go, let's look at that. They go from strength to strength, increasing in what? Victorious power. Each of them appears before God. Where in? Zion. So, I believe by the grace of God, that is what God wants me to share today. Say, strengthen you the weak hands. Confirm the feebleness. Say to them that they feel flat. Be strong. Your God will come. Firstly, with vengeance. And then, with a recompense. And in the midst of that vengeance and recompense, he will save you. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I believe that this is just a word straight from heaven. And if we're here tonight, we did not come by accident. Because there's nothing called coincidence. Interestingly, as he began to speak, I was just listening to him. And then before he turned to Habakkuk 2, 2 and 3, the Lord just led me straight to that scripture. So I opened my Bible and I began to read it. And that's what I want us to think about today. The vision is for an appointed time. Though it hurries, let us wait for it. Let's read it. Habakkuk 2, 2 and 3. Give it to me in the scriptures. Habakkuk. And the Lord said to me, go back to verse 1. Let me start from verse 1. I will stand upon my watch and set me. It's a decision thing. It's a decision thing. Where you and I are sitting today, we need to make that decision. The God has sent a prophet with a word that's come in a still small voice. You know, I hear this ever so, Nigeria leo. Nkon leo. You're there today and you're going through that and you're saying that, I want you to know that the answer has come. If you're only waiting for us to see, before then you don't have faith. Faith is not seeing before you believe. That was what Thomas did. What did Thomas say? Except I see. And what Jesus said, blessed is the man believes first before he sees. So let us believe from now, and then you begin to change our circumstances. It was interesting that today, early hours of this morning, I went for all night. And I was really, it was just God. You know, when kings ought to be in battle, these early hours of this morning, kings ought to be in battle. And I thank God that it was love that I responded to go for that all night. Because something was going, I had missed my medication for 2 days. And I had just traveled. So everything in me was like, no, you cannot just go for that all night. But when my sisters came, I looked at them and I said, to encourage you. To encourage you. Come. Let us pray. But I want you to know that it's encouragement, love. And I thank God that I did it. Because it was a day when kings ought to be in battle. And when I prayed some with them, something happened towards the end of the time when we were praying. My tongues changed. And I began to prophesy and decree the next phase into existence about that generation. And I knew something was happening that I couldn't even understand. And then when I went and I left them and I pressed them and I left them to pray the remaining phase, as I was in the bathroom, God said to me, he said, Sarah, do not be sad. I want, and I'm saying it to you, Prof, do not be sad. Let your heart not be discouraged. Let your hands not hang down. Confirm your feeble knees, said to him, because God's got your back. That's the entirety of this message. God has my back. Say some, tell somebody, God has my back. God has my back. God has my back. So if God has my back, if God has my back, if God is for me, if Papa God is for me, who can be against me? A rhetorical question. Wherever you're sitting, God, tell somebody again, God has my back. God has my back. God has my back. So I will not cast away my confidence. And you know, I would preach his message, but I just want to round off with something. We need a stone to lay our heads on now as a pillow. What is a stone? A stone is revelation knowledge. Revelation! Rema word, come alive. God spoke to me in the midst of my tiredness. When I chose the way of love, just to encourage those women. Just to encourage my sisters and my daughters. God spoke to me. And not only that, he was telling me something I later discovered was online accurate. God has my back. Tell somebody. God has my back. You see, with the power of speaking in tongues, we speak mysteries. We declare things in the realm of the spirit that is not even open. And I just kept it. And I will go back. I just kept hearing words. I was speaking tongues. I would decree. I was speaking tongues. I will go back again. It was no longer the prayer of a tired person. Because why? God has our back. Now I want to tell us as I round up this. This message from this man is to encourage. He may have come as a still small voice. But it's a word of encouragement from God. The word that God has spoken to us, he will hasten to perform. In the name of Jesus. No longer shall the word. This is the Kairos word of the moment. And we need, and the just. You know, this thing was said twice. It was said in Habakkuk 2 and 3. And it was said in Hebrews 10. The just shall live by faith. We need a revelation stone now. Rhema word of faith to put our heads on. Jacob did not know that where he was a hallowed ground. He did not know that it was a place of a meeting with the Lord, the house of bread, Bethel. And he picked up stones. Picked up a stone. Stone is not a comfortable place to lay your head. Revelation knowledge is not so comfortable. Because you have to believe it. You have to see yourself in the mirror of the word. It's not a physical thing that pats you on the back. Love is hard to walk in. When somebody has just slapped you, and the revelation of the word is turned around. Is that so easy? That easy? But the stone of the word of God in this Kairos moment, if you choose to believe and say, I am the just, I will live by faith, and put that faith as a stone and lay your head upon it as a pillow, when you sleep, you will have a vision. And there will be a ladder that is stretched forth from earth to heaven. Now you will see something. Angels ascending first. They are ascending first before descending. Thy will be done on earth first as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. You touch the heavens and change the earth. And he dreamed. He said, thank you so much. See, it's not a made-up story. And he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth. And the top of it reached the heaven. And behold, the angels of God and ascending and descending on it. Go on. And behold, the Lord, this is where we are. That's why he said the just shall live by faith. I don't know what your problem is. I don't know what is bothering you. But I want to tell you tonight, this stone in Hebrews, this stone in Habakkuk, the just shall live by faith. I want you to have it as a stone, as a pillow, and I want you to begin to lay your heads on it, knowing that God has my back. Amen. No matter what the circumstances, he gave us the different circumstances and situations, so you can know that this word is exactly an amplification of it. No matter what the circumstances or situation is. Abraham's body was dead. Paul, the sheep, everything was gone. But Jehovah God has our back. And said to him, no soul will be lost. Because God has, if God can give a human being, just stop a bit. And think about it. If God can give a human being the entirety of the lives of everybody on that ship with that one soul being lost, why are you afraid? Now, go back. Thank you so much. Now the just shall live. If any man draw back, my soul shall not have. Go back to Habakkuk and let me just go back to the story about the ladder. The story in Genesis about Jacob. Thank you. Go back to the story in Genesis that I was reading for you. Okay, I have it here. Okay. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Next verse. And behold, this is where we were. The Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land where thou liest, to thee will I give it and to thy seed. A word that was given to Abraham. the third generation. We're the third generation. The fulfillment of the word is here. And it was when he put the stone as a pillow and saw the vision and the I am appeared unto him, that the confirmation of the word came. And he said, I did not know that this place was the house of the Lord. And he took the stone and he poured oil on it and offered a sacrifice. And the name of the place is called Bethel. Not only, until this day, not only is it the house, it's also the house of bread. So the house of the Lord is also the house of bread. The Lord has, I can't get away from that. The Lord has your back. The Lord has my back. Fear not. Be not discouraged. Be not dismayed. The Lord has our back. Tell him today, I will fear no more. When the prophet spoke to Hannah, the Bible says her countenance was no longer sad. We bring you a word from the throne room to say to you, the just shall live by faith. God has our back. Amen. Pastor Wally. Okay. Please let's rise on our feet. And let's come before the Lord. Let's first bow our hearts. Bow our knees. Bow our all before the throne. I don't know what it is today that may be bothering you. But God sent you with a personal letter. Delivered not to another person, but to you and to me. To say, fear not, Mary. Then the Lord went ahead and said to me, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform it. Kito sate shataboko sate ribo sate. Rukite kalika suta hahashi ribo. Runte kisako bo sate ribo sote. Oh God. Oh God. We bow before your throne of grace. We offer our we offer our hearts to thee.
Everything I've been through.
Yeah.
to sing it as a sacrifice unto the Lord, as a prayer, as a petition. Lord, Rusate katokota keshata mama, Marika tukasute kelambo santa heketus. Father Lord, as we bring our lives before you one by one this day, O God, under the authority of the said Father Lord God, in order the Lordship, and under the authority of the Lordship of Jesus, the Shepherd and the Bishop of our souls, every one person represented in this place today, God, Lord, we offer you. Offer our lives as a living sacrifice. God. God. Lord. We offer you everything. We choose to believe your word, O God. We choose to lie upon the stone of faith. Knowing that one with you is in the majority, and that your thoughts towards us are thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to bring us to an expected end. Thank you for that glorious end you've called unto us, O God. In which there is a fulfillment of every word that you have spoken unto us. Declaring upon your house a season of performance, a season of hastening, a shutting the door of delay. Amen. So that, Lord, from henceforth we no longer struggle to be announced for good in every areas of our lives. Our seed, our spouses will no longer struggle to be announced for good. Because he that openeth the door and no man shut, and shut the door that no man opens, decides in his majesty and mercy, in his loving kindness, in this Kairos moment, to with his own hands shut the door of delay and open to us a door of performance. Amen. Performance of his word. In the name of Jesus, say, I will hasten to perform. Thank you, Father. Because tonight we see well. We see well. Jacob saw well when he had a vision and saw the ladder with angels ascending and descending. And that was when you changed his name. That was the real time you changed his name, and you changed his captivity and broke the yoke of Esau. The rest was just a process of fulfillment. Thank you, Lord, for the process of fulfillment. To Sute, the picture has been captured. To Sahatahite, though we do not see it in the dark room, but we will see the image, and it shall be sharp and it shall be bright, because it is a transforming from our image to His image, in Jesus' name.
We worship and honor you. We thank you for that word. We thank you, Lord. For you have said, fear not, little flock. But it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.